Welcome to the NARACAST Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and we have a packed agenda for you today.
That we do. We're starting off with a massive milestone in artificial intelligence, one that is sending shockwaves through the theoretical mathematics community regarding ChatGPT 5.5 Pro.
We are also going to look at some significant hardware and software integration in robotics. Genesis AI has unveiled a new foundation model aimed at solving one of the hardest problems in physical automation, which is delicate, highly dexterous manipulation.
And later, we will be diving into some fascinating astrophysics research. A new study has developed a metric to quantify the internal dynamics of globular clusters, which could help astronomers prioritize targets in the search for extraterrestrial technosignatures.
It is a great lineup. Let's get right into the first story. For a long time, the consensus in academia has been that artificial intelligence might be great for writing boilerplate code or summarizing text, but it simply cannot do genuine, original mathematical research. That consensus is officially breaking down today. Fields medalist Timothy Gowers just published a detailed account of his recent experience using ChatGPT 5.5 Pro to solve open problems in additive number theory.
And when a Fields medalist says an AI is producing what he calls PhD-level research, people pay attention. The specifics here are staggering. Gowers presented the model with a known unsolved problem in the field. In one instance, the model successfully improved an exponential bound to a polynomial one in under an hour. That is a massive leap in theoretical mathematics. And MIT researcher Isaac Rajagopal reviewed the work and confirmed that the core idea the AI generated was completely original.
The timeline of how this unfolded is what really caught my eye. According to Gower's breakdown, the model solved a highly specific mathematical construction problem in exactly 17 minutes and 5 seconds. Then it generated a full LaTeX preprint of the argument in 2 minutes and 23 seconds. It is doing the actual cognitive heavy lifting of mathematical discovery and then typesetting the proof faster than a human could even outline it.
Right. And this forces the academic community into some very uncomfortable territory regarding authorship and verification. If an AI generates a completely original proof that improves an exponential bound to a polynomial one, who gets the credit? Is the AI a research assistant or is it an independent collaborator?
Gowers himself seems to be leaning toward the latter. The fact that the model navigated these open problems without significant human guidance is the key differentiator here. It wasn't just verifying human intuition, it was generating the intuition itself. We are moving from an era where AI helps you format your paper to an era where AI is doing the fundamental science.
It also raises questions about mathematical training. If an AI can perform at a PhD level in additive number theory, how do we train the next generation of human mathematicians? Do they just become managers of AI systems, verifying the logic? But even verification becomes difficult when the proofs get so complex.
Exactly. If the model is generating PhD-level insights in 17 minutes, the bottleneck shifts entirely from discovery to peer review. Journals are going to have to adapt their verification systems rapidly because the volume of high-level mathematical output is about to skyrocket.
Moving from theoretical math to physical reality, Genesis AI unveiled a new foundation model on May 6, 2026, called Gene 26.5. This model is specifically designed for robotic manipulation, and it is demonstrating some incredibly delicate capabilities.
Robotics has historically struggled with manipulation. Getting a robot to walk is one thing, but getting it to handle soft, brittle, or oddly shaped objects without crushing them requires precise force and real-time sensory feedback. Genesis AI demonstrated Gene 26.5 performing tasks like one-handed egg cracking, tomato slicing, solving a Rubik's Cube, and even playing the piano.
The numbers here are really interesting because they show both the promise and the current limitations of the technology. Genesis AI reports that for many of the subtasks, the system is achieving a 90 to 95% success rate. However, for the truly difficult, highly dynamic tasks, like one-handed egg cracking, the success rate drops down to 50 to 60%.
A 50 to 60% success rate on one-handed egg cracking means that 4 or 5 times out of 10, you are cleaning raw egg off the floor. So it is definitely not ready for commercial deployment in a restaurant kitchen tomorrow, but the fact that it can do it at all using a general purpose AI foundation model rather than pre-programmed, hard-coded industrial motions is a massive paradigm shift.
It really is. And Genesis AI is taking what they call a full stack approach. They are not just building the software. They have built a human-sized, dexterous hand and the data collection gloves used to train the model. They own the hardware, the data engine, and the foundation model itself.
Which is an expensive way to build a company, but they have serious backing, including investment from former Google CEO Eric Schmidt. The debate right now in the robotics industry is whether this full-stack approach is necessary or if modular, open-source hardware and software will eventually win out. Genesis is betting heavily that tight integration between the physical hand and the neural network is the only way to solve these complex, contact-heavy manipulation tasks.
If they can push that 50% success rate on complex tasks up into the high 90s over the next few iterations of the model, we are looking at robots that can genuinely adapt to messy, unstructured environments like homes or dynamic factory floors.
Let's turn our attention to space, specifically the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, or SETI. A fascinating new paper has just proposed a quantitative method for identifying anomalies in the movements of stars, which could serve as a beacon for advanced alien civilizations.
The focus here is on globular clusters. These are incredibly dense, ancient collections of stars. Because they are so densely packed and old, they have long been considered prime targets for SETI. The idea is that if life started there, it has had billions of years to evolve, and the proximity of the stars would make interstellar travel or communication much easier for an advanced civilization.
Right, but looking at millions of stars is difficult. To narrow it down, researchers developed what they call a crystallization index, or C-index. They used membership data from the Gaia EDR-3 dataset, specifically building on work from Vasilyev and Baumgart, to quantify ordered radial and kinematic substructures in 79 galactic globular clusters.
Essentially, they are looking for phase space crystallization. They want to see if the stars are moving in a chaotic, natural equilibrium, or if there is some highly ordered, anomalous pattern that might suggest intentional manipulation. Out of the 79 clusters they analyzed, they found that while most are in standard equilibrium, a small subset showed high dynamical complexity, registering a C index greater than or equal to 2. This includes clusters like NGC 5139 and NGC 104.
Now, we need to be very clear here. The authors explicitly state that they found no evidence for structures that require explanations beyond known natural dynamical processes. They did not find a Dyson swarm or an alien stellar engine. What they did find is a mathematical way to rank these clusters by their internal complexity.
Exactly. The C-index is a tool for prioritization. If you only have a limited amount of telescope time to search for technosignatures, you want to point your instruments at the clusters that exhibit the most unusual, highly ordered internal dynamics. NGC 5139 and NGC 104 just went to the top of that list.
It is a brilliant intersection of standard stellar dynamics research and astrobiology. Even if we never find a technosignature, developing metrics like the C-index helps astronomers better understand the natural evolution and gravitational complexities of these ancient star clusters.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up today's episode.
Sounds good. There has been a lot of movement across the tech landscape, especially in privacy and space exploration.
Google's next-generation reCAPTCHA verification on Android now strictly requires Google Play services version 25.41.30 or higher running in the background. This was announced as part of Google Cloud Fraud Defense on April 23, 2026.
Which effectively breaks web browsing for users on privacy-focused de-Googled ROMs like GrapheneOS or LineageOS. Interestingly, iOS users on version 16.4 and above can pass the verification without any Google software, which is sparking debates about platform-specific bias and the gating of the open web.
A new study is analyzing the baseline length requirements for the proposed LIFE space mission. LIFE stands for Large Interferometer for Exoplanets, and it aims to detect biosignatures like water, carbon dioxide, and methane in the mid-infrared range.
Because the targets are so faint, the mission relies on an interferometer configuration of multiple telescopes. This research is critical for engineers trying to balance the immense technical challenge of deep space formation flying against the resolution needed to actually characterize these terrestrial atmospheres.
The Internet Archive is expanding its global footprint by establishing Internet Archive Switzerland, a new independent nonprofit foundation based in St. Gallen, led by Executive Director Roman Griesfelder.
Given the ongoing legal pressures the U.S.-based organization faces, this looks like a strategic move to create a more resilient, distributed network. They are launching an endangered archives initiative and partnering with the University of St. Gallen to build a Gen AI archive specifically for preserving AI models.
The Utah State Board of Education has implemented a new artificial intelligence framework for P-12 education that went into effect March 1st, 2026. The state even hired Matthew Winters as the first full-time AI specialist for K-12 education in the country.
It is an interesting balancing act. They are pushing AI literacy for workforce readiness while simultaneously dealing with new legislation, HB 273, which takes effect July 1st and mandates strict limits on screen time and technology use for K-3 students.
And that is all the time we have for today's briefing. Thank you for joining us. We will be back tomorrow to cover the latest developments in AI, quantum computing, space, and robotics.
Until then, take care and stay informed.